Amen. Don't let it go. God is good. And it doesn't matter how many trials we go through in life. It doesn't matter. He's always good. And I love that that we've never, he said in his word, his seed will never be forsaken or begging bread. And it's true. So keep Jesus close has been our theme in 2016. And last week we studied on the topic of what is faith? What is faith? You know, Abraham demonstrated what true faith was, and it is this. And I'm going to summarize all of last week's sermon in one sentence. What is faith? It is this. It is knowing that what God has promised will come to pass for people who truly serve Him. It's just knowing that what He's promised will come to pass. And what has He promised? Well, you're going to have to read your word because there's a lot of them in there. Amen? Knowing that every single one of the promises in this book will come to pass. It is truth. They will come to pass. And off the top of my head, a few promises. Raise your child the way he should go and he shall not depart, right? So many of you are parents and you're bringing your children and you got to lead them to church because that's what we do, and God's going to honor that. And there's other promises. You want to live a long life? Honor your father and your mother, right? Amen. There's a promise. And you know you can quote these promises back to God because Moses did it, right? He quoted some of his promises back to God. There's many, many promises. But here's one thing that many times we forget is that these promises are for those who diligently seek Him. You see, we can't have it both ways. We can't just live our own way of life and do our own thing against this word and then go claim all those promises. Amen? God's looking to and fro to bless, but He can't go against His own law. Sin, there's consequences. Sin separates us from God. That's what the Bible says. Amen? So these two things work together. So one thing we need to do as Christians is get the things don't line up with this word, go and put them underneath the cross and ask God to empower us. Because last week I was preaching the sermon about what is faith, and all of a sudden I just felt like I needed to talk about this, and it was about this, and it was, and I think I have it up there. To quote up there is this one. This summer, set things right according to God's word. There was just something that I felt in my heart that each and every one of God is ready to just take you from victory to victory, but we got to set things right according to His word. Amen? And there's a difference between setting things right according to His word and being perfect. Nobody is perfect. But your attitude and your intent can be perfect. Amen? Nobody is perfect. We're not saying here that you have to be perfect in order for the promises to happen for you. Thank God that's not the case. Because none of us will meet that. None of us. It doesn't matter how holy you think you are. Or that you've done nothing wrong. You're not a murderer. It doesn't matter. Because God has a law, and the law is this. The wages of sin is death. Amen? And every one of us, when you've broken one thing in your life, you're guilty of all, according to God's word. And that means that when you said that white lie, or you lied to get out of something, or you cheated the government because you want more of this from them, or whatever it may be that's not right, one of those things, if we've gone, then we're not worthy, or we're not justified to receive of His promises. Just one. It doesn't matter. So many times we think, I'm not a murderer, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm good. God, give me all your promises. That's not the way it works. Because the Bible says, your goodness is as filthy rags. See, goodness, your perception of goodness without God in it is as filthy rags according to Scripture. So that's not how we measure. We're all guilty. And the only way we get to receive the promises and be led by His Spirit, all that goes with being a Christian, is this one thing, is that our sins are covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with how good you are. None of us are perfect. But willing to be perfected and having an attitude of saying, Lord, I have faults, I leave them under the cross. Help me to be right standing before you. And if that's your heart, then you're in line for blessings. You're in line to receive all that God has for you. So it's not so much about being perfect. It is about an attitude of the heart, being willing to be transformed. Are you willing to be changed from the inside out? Because if you're willing, then I got news for you. You're going to accomplish some amazing things for God's kingdom. I don't care if you don't speak well in front of people or you don't do this or do that. It doesn't really matter. If you are reading your Bible and you're praying and you have a heart wanting to set things right before the Lord, if that is you, you are destined for greatness. There is no exceptions. You may be thinking, oh, are you sure, Pastor? Me? Destined for greatness? Moses said, Lord, I stutter. You picked the wrong person. And God said, I created your mouth. I'll make it move if I need it to move, right? It's basically what he's telling him. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt God at all. He's got a good plan for you. But I really do feel strongly. This summer, set things right according to God's word. It doesn't mean that you go and become perfect. It means that you go and leave it with Jesus. The only way to overcome sin in this world is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the answer is being filled with the Spirit. And there you may say, well, how do I know if I'm filled? Well, go ask God to fill you. And if you don't feel it that day, ask Him again, because it's true. And ask Him again and ask Him again. And then one day you're going to have a testimony. Wow, He filled me. Amen. You see, fight for it. Fight for it. It's all there for all of us. He's no respecter of person. It's not that the pastor has more that has nothing to do with it. God says, I am no respecter of person. And He's wanting to empower all of us. Set it right this summer. Don't be perfect, but just set it right. Do whatever it takes to take your sin to the cross and beg God to empower you to overcome. Do it. God delights in a repentant heart. God can do amazing wonders with a repentant heart, but God cannot bless sin. Amen? So put it under the cross. And when I came to understand, because when I was a young Christian, I remember going to summer camp, and I remember going, getting saved, and going to the altar, and just God just doing a work, and I came back, and I remember just struggling, and I went back to school, and I knew I did things wrong, and what happened to my camp experience? What? And then next summer I go again, and but every year I remember just becoming more and more aware about fighting for it, fighting for the relationship. And when I came to this realization that I don't have to be perfect, I just have to not be ashamed to go back to the cross every time. And then next thing you knew, God starts to fill you, and you become more and more Christ-like. Right? And it's not anything that we can take pride in that we did. It's all about what Jesus did. Everyone in this room has the same path to greatness, to right living. God can do amazing things with a repentant heart. And I just, that came out of the blues last week. Just set it right. Set it right. And I believe that God's working on your hearts. Set it right. You know, people have asked me from time to time, you know, preach more about sin or about this, you know, and I definitely agree with preaching on sin. I spent most of 2013 always preaching every week about sin. Can you imagine the church went down to like 30 people? Don't be afraid to confront sin. The enemy wants us to hide. But God wants to shine the light of truth on darkness. Don't be, just let him do it. I'm not telling you that it's easy. I'm telling you that it's worth it all. Let him do it. Set it right. Set it right. Christianity is not a competition. It's not, oh, who's closer to the Lord? Oh, as a matter of fact, the closer you are to God, the less you have to say anything. You just are. Amen? So those people that you're always having to go out and make sure everybody knows who they are in Christ and all, really making it, oh, God's doing all this in my life. And you know, there's time for testimony. But there's also, you don't have to advertise that you're a man or woman of God. It should just be evident in your life. Amen? That is when you start saying few words and it impacts people in a powerful way, that's greatness. That's what God is looking for each and one, every one of us. It's not a competition. Don't let go of this treasure. We all have a treasure this morning. His name is Jesus. In Luke and in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Foundation scripture this morning. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth, and he selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. The key part of this verse is that he sold all in order to get access to the treasure. How many of you know that Jesus Christ and the story of grace and the gospel story, that is a treasure. And not everybody sees the treasure. You have family and relatives right now that you're praying for that you wish they could see the treasure that I found. And they don't see it like you do. You found the treasure. And as you pray for your loved ones, I believe, I pray with you. And on Tuesday nights, I get a lot of prayer requests. That's what this box is for, by the way. If you have a prayer request and you can't be here on Tuesday, you can drop there in the back. There's a little prayer request slip in the back table, and you can just slip it in there. And I open these up on Tuesday before prayer, and we're going to pray for them. Believe God. And this side, if anybody's wondering, are coins for our children's mission project. So if you have loose coins, you can put them in there. But when you find a treasure, you got to do whatever it takes. You got to fight for it. You got to fight for it. Fight for it. When you encounter forgiveness of your sins through the blood of Jesus, it changes you. It changes you. It truly is a treasure. And not everyone gets to experience the treasure that is in Jesus Christ. I encourage the church this morning, sell all for the treasure. Surrender all for the treasure. The treasure we have found in Jesus and the gospel is priceless. It's priceless. It's so priceless. And the more and more we go on this journey with Jesus Christ, the more and more understanding of how priceless this treasure really is. Because one day, we will all leave this earth one way or the other. And those who have found the treasure are going to reap amazing rewards. I want to go to a Bible story in the Old Testament. You know, I don't do a lot of Old Testament stories, if you haven't noticed. But lately, I've been kind of reading them and kind of excited about it. These Old Testament Bible characters, it's amazing. And I'm going off tangent, but that's okay. Nobody's in a hurry, right? What time is it? 12:10? Okay. I'm not really getting through my sermon very well, so you're going to have to bear with me today. But I know there was an archaeology finding in the 1940s. For many, many years, people were saying, how do you know the Bible that you read today is the same Bible that Jesus read, the Old Testament and all that? And in 1948, I believe it was, there was some young kids who were playing and throwing rocks in a cave, and they heard a breaking glass. And when they heard it, they went up there and they found these scrolls. They're called the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they found them. And they found that every one of those Dead Sea Scrolls were dated to prior to Jesus' time, and they were word for word our Old Testament. So for the first time, since they couldn't say, how do you know? Because they couldn't prove that the Bible was older than when it was printed, last printed. And that was like, wow. Jesus really did read the same Old Testament that we read, and it's proven by fact of science. That's pretty amazing. But I'm reading these Old Testament stories, and I'm like, these are amazing stories. So I want to go to Ruth, and I'm going to go through it quickly. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. This is an amazing story because, well, let me just read it. Let me set a little bit of background. Ruth married and had a mother-in-law, father-in-law. The father-in-law died, and the two sons, or her husband, died as well. And now the traditions of the time were, I have nobody here, the mother-in-law was telling Ruth, I have nobody here, so you're free, you know, in their custom, to go back to your family and go, you know, make a life. Because, you know, your husband's passed away. And this is where we pick up the story. Now, and she said, your other sister-in-laws have gone back into their families and unto their gods. You can return, therefore, after thy sister-in-laws. Follow theirs. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God will be my God. She was free to go back to her family, but you know what? She found a treasure. You see, one thing Ruth picked up on, she had a heart for God. She knew that the God of her husband and the God of Abraham and Jacob was real. She didn't want to go back to that other God. She had found her treasure. So she did something a little bit different. She waived that right to go back to her family and their gods and said, I have found a treasure. Your God will be my God. And your people, my people. Ruth found and had faith and found a treasure, and she was not going to let it go. Amen? With passion. And I challenge you this morning, are you determined, this treasure that you have found, that you're not going to let it go? That you're going to fight for the relationship with God? You're going to fight to set things right according to His Word, because His blessings, His rewards are true. And His promises come to pass for His people who seek Him. Well, Ruth found a treasure, and she said, and it's a famous scripture we all read, she says, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Now, you may be thinking, wow, Ruth had it all together. She was a confident woman. Well, the good thing about reading the Bible is it tells us that these are human beings, not superheroes. Because in the very next scripture, she says, woe is me. Has anybody ever said that? Woe is me. Why me, Lord? In the very next scripture, she's human and she says this. I'm going to go to verse 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. So she went with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? She's back to Bethlehem, the mother-in-law. She's back. And she said unto them, call me not I'm sorry, I got the names. Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty had dealt with me very bitterly. So they were down bitterly. Have you ever felt that way? God has dealt with me a little bit bitter. Amen. You can be honest this morning. Yes. Why this road for me, God? Why? And that's how they felt. The mother-in-law, the daughter, things didn't go well. I'm back to Bethlehem. The mother-in-law saying things didn't work out. And when all full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty, when they call you me Naomi, see, the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty had afflicted. So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, which returneth out of the country. So there they are, kind of down. We're back. They were having a bad day, Naomi and Ruth, but they stuck together. She told the people in Bethlehem to call her Mara, bitter, because God had dealt with them very bitterly. But God was not done with this story. Isn't that true for your life? God is not done yet with you. Ruth 2, verse 4 through 12. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And it was Ruth. And thy servant was with sat and reapers answered and said, it is the Moabite damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried for a little while in the house. And Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not and glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them, and I have not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee. And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessel and drink of that which is young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, saying, I am a stranger? So Ruth is a little surprised. Why are you treating me special? I'm a stranger. I'm from another land. But remember, Ruth chose to leave the land that she knew to come to a strange land because why? She found the treasure. And you know that when you begin to set things right in front of the Lord, favor comes your way. Amen? Things just start working out. I'm sure many of you have many stories how you felt God was dealing bitter, and then all of a sudden things started working out, and God will make a way where there seems to be no way in your life. He will. And things started working out for Ruth. And she says, why, Boaz, why? I'm a stranger, why? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed to me that all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law Naomi since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy own mother and father out of the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not. It was a big deal that Ruth left what she knew to come to a strange land. And not only that, she came to serve and help her mother-in-law. How many of you love your mother-in-law that much? Okay, no, don't raise your hand. Or raise your hand. All of you raise your hand. But how many of you know sometimes those in-law relationships aren't always, you know, the smoothest? Yes, you love each other, but there's something there, right? He wasn't part of this family, or she, and wants to fit in now, and right? You all know what I'm talking about. So, but Ruth said, I'm going to do it. And there it is. The Lord recompense thy work, and full reward be given unto thee, Lord God of Israel. So here we go. Ruth was and Naomi, they were having a bad day, a bad week, a bad year. Has anyone had a bad day? She told the people in Bethlehem to, Naomi did, to call her Mara because things were bitter, but that was not the end of the story. Even though Ruth was going through a trial in life, she continued to do the right things. She knew God wanted her to take care of her mother-in-law, and she knew God, she knew her God that she wanted to serve, and she found the treasure, and she was not going to let it go. So because of her faithfulness, Boaz recognized that she was helping her mother-in-law when she could be with her own family. See, Ruth was serving. Serving other people. Ruth 4, chapter 4. Let's move along towards the end of the story. Ruth chapter 4, verse 8. So Boaz falls in love with Ruth and had the twinkle in his eye. But there was a problem. Boaz was a man of character. And Boaz knew the right thing was for Ruth, if she was going to marry, would have to be within the family, within the heritage, those that were closer. That's just the custom that they had. So he couldn't just marry Ruth. So he goes to the kinsman that was the person that Ruth was to marry, and he says to him, therefore, verse 8, chapter 4, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoes. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech and all that was Chilzans and Mahlons of the hand of Naomi. So what happened was that Boaz had to buy land and inheritance that belonged to Naomi's husband. And now he had told the guy, do you want this? It includes Ruth, or do you want to sell the land to me? And he said, no, you take it. You buy it. You have rights to go ahead and take it. So he bought the land, and so he had, within their custom, now had rights to marry Ruth. But notice how Boaz did it the right way. He didn't take shortcuts. He did it the right way. And I wanted to bring out this point about Boaz because it's so important that we do things the right way, according to God's word. Because when Ruth and Boaz both began to do things God's way, this is what happened. So Boaz, verse 13, chapter 4. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, and his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, has borne him. You see, they knew that what Ruth was doing was even better what their own children do to their children, to their parents. What Ruth did was go beyond to serve and to care. And everybody knew it. But why did she do it? Because she found the treasure. And she be unto thee a restorer of life. And Naomi took the child, verse 16, and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the woman her neighbors gave to name, saying, there is a son born in Naomi, and they called the name Obed. His father was Jesse, and his father was David. Anybody know who David is? King David. David and Goliath. And we know that Jesus came from the lineage of David. So you see, what seemed bitter at one point in their life was actually God setting up circumstances for greatness in the Messiah. See, Ruth and Boaz are great, 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 great grandparents of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Even though Ruth was going through a trial, they did the right things. Both Ruth and Boaz made sure to do the right things. When we set things right according to God's word, there's no doubt that God will turn bitter waters into sweet water. God will turn what seems dead to life. God's people will overcome. But this story in the Old Testament shows how setting things right in order is what opens the doors for God to replace quicksand that you stand under to a solid foundation. God is good. Yeah, I love that, Brother Castellano. Repeat that every time because it is so true. All the time. She found a treasure. And she refused to let it go. And this morning, well, take this with you. You have found the treasure in the salvation message of Jesus Christ. Don't let it go. Hold it tight. Fight for it. Fight for it. Put your sin under the blood. Give it to God. Fight for it. And you will see how good God is. Amen. Ruth found a treasure in faith in God. And even though she had a rough patch, even to the point of feeling that God had dealt a bitter hand to them, she continued to set things right before the Lord. And Boaz, her husband, also continued to set things right before the Lord. And at the end of their journey together, they raised amazing children and grandchildren who brought forth the seed of King David, who were part of the family tree of Jesus Christ. So when Ruth thought God was dealing with her, Naomi and Ruth thought they were being dealt with bitterly, it turns out God used Ruth to set a foundation for the Messiah. So it is with your life. You may hit a point in your life where things are hard, but rest assured this morning that God has a plan to turn what seems bitter into sweet. He does. Those who trust God in the storm will see how good God really is. If you have found a treasure this morning in Jesus Christ, sell it. Sell all to keep it. Surrender all to keep it. God is good. God is good. All the time. They'll catch up to you eventually, but the congregation will, Brother Castellano. It's going to take them a little while, though. This morning, I want to do this. I want you to stand, I don't want you to stand if you're not feeling this in your heart, but if you do feel this, I want you to stand. If you are determined that you're never going to let go of this treasure, that you're going to fight for it, the relationship with Jesus Christ, I want us to sing together. And I want us to just act on that. I'm going to fight for God in my life. I'm not going to let go of this treasure. And if that's your heart this morning, in the count of three, I want you to stand. And as Michelle is singing and we're standing and just in unity, I'm going to ask Peter and Joseph to hand out communion while the song is being played. But let's do that this morning. If that's your heart, you're going to fight for it. You're not going to let this treasure go. You're going to sell all. You're going to surrender all. On the count of three, let's just all stand in unity. One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus.